Our text this morning is the Old Testament reading out of Isaiah 61. And just like we read from the Old Testament, that's a thousands-year-old tradition of reading from the Old Testament in church. Just as we did that this morning in this reading, one morning Jesus showed up for synagogue and they gave him this scripture to read. And the only twist was when he finished reading it, he said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, he said, "This scripture is about me." And we're going to look at Isaiah 61. We're just going to take the first verse as our text. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted and the poor. He has sent me to bind up or heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners." The word there where it says he's been anointed to bring good news to the poor, that word poor means depressed in mind or depressed in circumstances. And where it talks about he's been sent to heal the brokenhearted, that word brokenhearted means despondent and dejected. Then the last thing about proclaiming liberty to captives, release to prisoners, that's release to those who are bound up. Now, when the Jews of Jesus' time read this scripture, they were certain it meant Messiah was going to come and release people out of prison because he was going to overthrow the Roman government and those kinds of things. But what Jesus was really talking about was releasing people who are bound up in their heart, talking about healing brokenhearted, healing those who are depressed. And being depressed and brokenhearted, you know, that can be as much of a bondage or more of a bondage sometime than prison bars can be. I mean, adults can be bound up in very destructive behaviors, and sometimes they can't even control them, even though they wish they could. And it's often because of something that's happened to them, and it hadn't been dealt with. It hasn't been worked out internally. And so they're doomed to just kind of repeat the same failures over and over again, and their broken hearts are imprisoning them. Sometimes imprison them in destructive relationships or destructive behaviors or those kinds of things. And it's because their broken heart hadn't been healed. They're the walking wounded. Matter of fact, some feel like their heart has been mortally wounded. You know, they're not the walking wounded. They're the walking dead. They're desperate and in desperate need of a healer. Well, that's what Jesus said he came for. He came to heal broken hearts, to deliver us from the torture of always loving the wrong people, always doing the wrong things, whatever it is we're bound up by. And Jesus said, that's what I'm specifically anointed to do. And so I want to look this morning at broken hearts. What are they? How does Jesus come to heal broken hearts? We may talk a little bit about what doesn't work with broken hearts. Let's look first at what causes a broken heart. And this is my contention. We all suffer in varying degrees and at various times from a broken heart in our lives. If your heart is strong now, listen anyway, because soon the time will come where you're going to need this. We just all need it. We go through these times. Our hearts are normally broken because of a loss, when we lose something of value. Do you remember when you lost your first sweetheart? Maybe in school? And you were so much in love, and they dump you. How'd you feel? Oh, I mean, you really felt sad and dejected, depressed, right? I can remember a time when I was about 4 or 5 years old, and I had a balloon. And we were driving somewhere, and I took the balloon with me. And in the olden days, air conditioning was you roll all the windows down in the car. And so we had turned the air conditioning on, driving down the road, and I let my balloon get just a little bit too close to the back window, and boy, it got sucked out and it was gone. And my dad wasn't about to stop and get that balloon. Well, I was really depressed over that. I can remember crying over my balloon being lost. Well, that feeling that you have when you lose something is called depression. And that's the normal human emotion for loss. That's how we feel when we lose something. It may be painful, but it's not a terminal condition, okay? And so normally you feel depressed for a while, maybe you mope around, maybe you cry depending on the circumstances, and then after a while you begin to feel better and you go on with your life. That's the way things are normally supposed to work. But what happens when we don't get over it, or when we suppress the feelings, then what happens is those feelings begin to come out in other ways, like unexplained outbursts of anger or anxiety attacks or days and days and days and days of chronic depression. And what happens when you feel like the loss is so great, your heart can't bear it anymore? I mean, how do you get healed from that? One of my grandmothers had three boys, but always wanted a little girl. Reba Jane was finally born. And when Reba Jane turns 14, she contracted rheumatic fever and died. And, oh, Nanny was devastated. They said that she was almost completely incapacitated for over a year. They thought she was going to die of a broken heart. Now, she didn't. She was able to eventually overcome it because the Lord came and visited her and began to heal her broken heart. But, you know, some people will handle situations like this. Sometimes the parent will commit suicide. Sometimes the parent will run away. Oftentimes in families, they get a divorce when that happens. So broken hearts can really wreak lots of havoc in our lives. And I think the example of, you know, what a broken heart is, I think the death of a loved one is a good example of that. Because part of the feelings of grief that we have when we lose a loved one are those profound feelings of loss. And so we feel depressed because of it. And if the person that died was a Christian, we know we're going to get to see them again someday. But I mean, they're lost forever to us in this life. And so we feel depressed and we just want to cry. And that's part of the grieving process. That's okay to feel that way, and it's okay to express that depression. Don't short-circuit those feelings. It's okay. Feel depressed and feel lonely and feel sad for a while. Matter of fact, I think it's okay to actually savor some of those feelings in your heart. Go through that and let it drain out naturally. Sometimes friends will come and they're trying to cheer you up. And they say, oh yeah, but they're in a much better place now. And let's not be sad and let's not cry over them. Let's rejoice. And no, you need to cry over them. You need to cry over that loss. It's okay to feel that depression. Don't short circuit it. Let it drain out naturally so that then you can begin the process of recovery. Because if you don't express those feelings, then they sink down below the surface. And they just come back later to cause problems, and usually it's at the worst possible time and in the worst possible way, and that's when you end up with really a broken heart and you don't know how to fix it. I think young adults go through two periods of loss in their lives that they don't really recognize, and they're not sure what's going on. And so because of it, they often don't know they need to be dealing with a broken heart. And the first is when they get married, because what they lose is their independence. They lose that ability to do whatever they want to, whenever they want to, and kind of be their own. Of course, the honeymoon normally has to wear off before they start feeling that sense of loss, but most folks go through some of that. Sometimes the guys a little earlier than the gals do, but it's a broken heart and some depression that comes with that needs to be dealt with. And the second time is when they begin to have children, especially after about the third or the fourth child. I mean, whatever life you had before, it is gone, 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 and will never come back. I mean, you are going to have to face adult responsibilities that you couldn't even imagine before. There's a lot of loss associated with that. And so sometimes young parents will be going through times of depression, and they're not sure why. Hey, you have lost something that was of value to you. It's okay for you to feel depressed. Your children have literally broken your heart, maybe not in the way we normally think of it. But you see what I'm saying? We don't normally notice that, and so we don't realize, hey, I got a broken heart that needs to be fixed. I need Jesus to help me with this. There's another area where hearts are broken, and that's from sexual abuse as a child. I saw a statistic the other day said that 70% of the women who are in the porn industry report being sexually abused as a child. Generally, the statistics are that 25% of all adult women here in the United States say that they're survivors of childhood sexual abuse. And 16% of all men, that's about 1 in 6 men, were sexually abused as a child. That's a lot of folks that have to go through that. And I mean, a child that's sexually abused really has lost something. They have lost their innocence. They have lost their sense of protection and their sense of well-being. They've lost their sense of their own value as a human being. And oftentimes they're overwhelmed with guilt and with great confusion. They're wondering what in the world's going on. And the worst part about it is, especially children, they normally deal with it in all the wrong ways. They try to hide it. They try to forget it. They try to tell themselves that, well, it was really okay, or that there's something wrong with me and that's why it happened, especially if it happens more than once. I know a woman that had three different encounters by the time she was 7 years old. That set the tone for the rest of her life. She was sure there was something wrong with her sexually until Jesus healed her broken heart. And see, all the time their heart's broken, they don't have any idea that they've been wounded and they're desperate for healing. And what happens is their broken heart kind of becomes an open sore. And they go around with that pain. They feel that pain all the time, but they don't know where it's coming from. And Jesus said, I have been anointed by my Father to heal broken hearts. Broken hearts can come from lots of things. Lost dreams. I dreamed that someday I would have children and stay home with my children, but I can't stay home with my children. I have to work and I have to be gone from them, and so I'm depressed over that. Divorce is a great breaker of hearts, both for the children and for the spouses. Marriages can go through difficult times in the course of the marriage where one spouse becomes a little distant or becomes a little hateful. That'll break the heart of the other one. They'll be going through depression, and again, they may not understand why. You know, it's valid. You've lost something. Every broken heart involves some kind of loss and some kind of depression. And unfortunately, if you were to go to a doctor and say, you know, I'm feeling a little depressed or a little blue and I don't know exactly where it's coming from, I can tell you from recent experience, not with me, but with several other people that have told me this has happened to them, go to the doctor and say that, and the doctor doesn't ask why, where, when, anything. Doctor gets the prescription pad out and starts writing them a prescription for happy pills of some kind, you know. And you know what's funny is that several clinical studies recently have shown that the depression medicine that they're testing and the placebos that they give people to do the test with, that they both have about the same result. And a matter of fact, they're even starting to do studies that show that psychotherapy doesn't seem to be doing much either. They'll say that a person that's spent 3 years in psychotherapy seems to get well at about the same rate as the person with the same problem that just lived for 3 years. You know, it just is not very effective. Now, I know sometimes people have chemical imbalances, and there really are needs for medications at times. But it can't be very much, or the studies would have shown that the chemical would have really done much better than the placebo. Most of it was about what's going on in the mind. And so medicating away the broken heart is generally not the way to do that. That's not going to work. But some people will try to medicate it away with prescription drugs or non-prescription drugs, as the case may be, or alcohol, or especially some of us guys, we'll medicate away our broken hearts by work. And we'll work all the time. I don't want to go home. I just stay here at work. Or sports, and sit in front of the tube, watch the sports 90% of the time when we're home. Or some folks will medicate. I've counseled people that have tried to medicate their broken heart with affairs. And, you know, then they just end up with a worse broken heart. So lots of ways people try to fix their broken hearts, and most of them don't work right. And so let me tell you how Jesus fixes broken hearts. And I've got kind of good news and bad news for you, okay? The good news is, I'm going to tell you how Jesus fixes broken hearts. The bad news, it's going to be very anticlimactic. There's not going to be a three-step formula and just follow this formula and you'll be okay. Or here are three scriptures to read every day for 2 weeks and then all of a sudden you'll be better. Although there may be times for something like that. Or after the message, well, we're just going to lay hands on everybody and the Lord's going to touch you and heal your heart instantly and you're going to be okay. And again, sometimes there are times for that. But generally, in the long run, that's not how it works. That's not what the Lord does to heal broken hearts. The secret is that God mends our broken hearts from the inside out. God mends our broken hearts by living in our hearts over a long period of time. God mends our broken hearts by living in them over a long period of time. And as we cultivate our relationship with Him, well, then He's able to heal our wounded heart, and He's able to give us some solace there. And I'm going to give you some kind of helpful hints on how to help the Lord do that here in a minute. But first of all, I want to go through this principle of God living in our hearts to heal our hearts. Turn to Romans 8. We tell our children about having Jesus in their heart. And at first I used to think that that was kind of a childish expression. But as it turns out, I think that is a great way of describing exactly what God does. Now, when we say invite Jesus into your heart, we're not really talking about Jesus, because Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. What we're talking about doing is inviting the Spirit of Jesus into our heart, and the Spirit of Jesus is the Holy Spirit of God. He comes in to spiritually and physically set up housekeeping in our hearts. Romans 8, let's start in verse 9. However, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. Well, where's it going to live in you? It's going to live in your heart, right? But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ living in them, he does not belong to him. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Now go down to verse 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, that is, all who have the Spirit of Jesus or the Spirit of God in their hearts, these are the sons of God. Now, turn back to Isaiah 57, and we're going to read a scripture that holds the secret to all of this, and that this process goes along with where Jesus said that he was anointed to heal broken hearts. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. For thus says the High and Exalted One, who lives in eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place, and also with the one who has a contrite and humble spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite. This is talking about God Almighty, who is holy and lives in heaven, but he also lives with and in the person that has a humble and contrite spirit or heart. That means there's a part of God Almighty that wants to live intimately with us. And that part of him is the Holy Spirit, this Spirit of the Messiah we were talking about before. Now see here where it says, I dwell in a high and holy place. That word holy is where we get our word sanctuary. Remember how the temple was built, the Jewish temple? There was an outer court area, and then there was the holy place, which was called the sanctuary. And then inside that sanctuary was an even holier place called the Holy of Holies. And that was the place where the Spirit of God was supposed to dwell all the time. We now would call that inner sanctum, that inner Holy of Holies, we would call that the oracle. That would be the kind of the modern terminology for that, where God lives. And so it says God lives not only in his sanctuary, but he also lives in the hearts of certain people. That is, people who want him to live there, who've invited him there, people who have humbled themselves before God and said, God, I know that you know what's best for me, and whatever you say, that's what I'm going to do. But it also says he lives with those who have a contrite heart. You know what the word contrite means? It means regretful for your sins, or sorry for your sins. Now, by contrast, that means God refuses to live with those who are arrogant and haughty. Those that say, hey, I'm going to do whatever I want to do and don't bother me. For sure, they have just run God off because he didn't want to live with them. But what's amazing to me here is it says that God wants to live in people's hearts. What in the world for? I mean, what purpose does God have in living in our hearts? What's he going to do there? What does it say? It tells us, it gives us the secret of why God wants to live in our hearts in the last half of the verse that starts off, in order to. See, that's telling us why, right? In order to revive the spirit or heart of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. What does the word revive mean? Bring back to life, right? To heal. So you take a heart that's dead, that's a broken heart, right? And God wants to live in our hearts so that he can heal that, so that he can bring our hearts back to life. I used to have a wrong concept about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Turn to 1 Corinthians 3. I thought that the only reason you got filled with the Holy Spirit was so you could operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, the 1 Corinthians 12 gifts of the Holy Spirit. But I now realize there's a whole lot more to it than that. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 17, says, if any man destroys the temple of God. Now, your first picture when you read that is he must be talking about bricks and mortar somewhere, right? Wrong. For if any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. We are the holy temple of God, where he wants to live. Then in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 through 20, he reiterates this. Or do you not know that your body is a temple, that is a holy place of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own anymore, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Your body is this holy place that God wants to live in, and if you'll let Him live there, then He'll heal your broken heart whenever you have one. I promised to just give you a couple of helpful hints about how to help the Lord in the healing process. Let me give you a peek into my own daily devotional life and show you how I apply some of this. The first thing is that every day I read Isaiah 57:15. For thus says the High and Lofty One who inhabits eternity and whose name is holy. And I dwell in the high and holy place and with the one who has a humble and contrite heart, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite, to remind myself that God wants to live in my heart. And then at that point, knowing that He wants to live with those who are contrite, I normally pray a prayer of confession and a prayer of forgiveness. And when I do that, I start out, Most merciful God, we have sinned against you, because I include all of y'all, everybody in the parish, in my prayer. And I say, Lord, we've sinned. We haven't done what's right. We haven't served you where we should have. And Father, we are sorry. We humbly repent, and I ask you to forgive us all. I pray for a prayer of forgiveness for all of us. And then at that point, I like to quote Psalm 51. Turn to Psalm 51 with me. Psalm 51, verse 15 says, O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. And I normally pray that verse, Lord, open my lips, and let only what you have to say come out through these lips. I pray, Lord, I give myself to you. Everything that's mine is yours, and I ask you to fill me up with your Holy Spirit and make my body your holy temple. I give you my heart to be your throne room, to be your oracle. I give you my hands and my feet to use them here on this earth and my mouth. And I pray, Lord, that you speak through these lips from that inner sanctuary of my heart where you're living, and that the only words that come out of my lips are words that come from you. And Father, especially, let me be Jesus to my wife and to those that I love, and let me speak to them the words of love that you want them to hear. And that's how I start my day. Lord, I want you to be living in my heart and expressing yourself through my heart, because I know that if He's there, first of all, I'm safe, but second of all, I know that He'll be able to continue a process of healing any time my heart gets broken. Now, I began several years ago to teach this concept to my mother. And she would start talking about something that somebody had done wrong to her, or somebody had hurt her feelings, or somehow her heart had been broken. And I said, Mother, what you need to do is you need to take that to the Lord. Now, back in the olden days, they called this practicing the presence of God. And I would suggest to her, I said, find a place where you can sit two chairs across from each other. And you sit in one of them, and then imagine Jesus sitting down in the other chair. And don't sit there and just go over and over and over and over and over again how people done you wrong, but sit there and tell the Lord, say, Lord, this person hurt me this way, or this situation hurt me, and I want you now to go with me and show me what was really going on in that situation. Help me see this through your eyes. She has been relieved and set free of lots of heartbreaks because of that. And as a matter of fact, what's happened is that's kind of become a daily habit for her. She's got a special chair that she sits in, and she doesn't have a chair across from her anymore. And it's not uncommon for her to call and say, Oh, I just so look forward to my time with the Lord every morning. About 9:30 in the morning, I'll go get my cup of coffee and go upstairs to my chair and sit down, and just me and the Lord are there and have fun together. And she says, sometimes I just laugh and shout and just have a great time in the presence of the Lord. And it's also not uncommon for her to call and say, Oh, let me tell you what the Lord showed me when I was in prayer with Him a couple of days ago. And you know, there'll be some kind of revelation, something about something her mother did or somebody else did or something that she did. And she's walking in a lot of freedom now that she never had before, because she's been delivered and set free because she's been sitting in the presence of God and let God sit in her heart to heal her heart. So one of the things that Debbie and I have learned to practice to help God heal our hearts is that when we sit with the Lord like that, the first thing we do is we count our blessings to God. And as a matter of fact, some of these clinical studies that were showing depression medicine and placebos worked about the same, they said what actually worked better was counting your blessings and looking for the silver lining in life. They said that actually did more than either of the medications did. When we think about something that's been painful to us emotionally, something that has broken our heart, or we know we're in depression, maybe not even sure why, we'll sit down and talk with the Lord about that. Especially when you know what's going on, or the Lord reveals a situation to you and you're thinking about it and think, oh yeah, boy, that was an awful situation. You go back and say, Lord, what was going on? How did I misunderstand? What lie have I believed that has broken my heart over this? Or what have I not let go of yet? You know, a lot of times our hearts get broken, not because something bad happened necessarily, but because we misperceived or misunderstood what happened. To me, one of the great examples of this is children in a divorce. Children in a divorce almost always are certain that the divorce was caused by them, that it's their fault. And just as they are certain that that's the case, they have certainly believed a lie because it is almost never the case. See, they have perceived it wrong. They have misunderstood it. And a lot of times as adults, the Lord will take them back to the situation and show them that and say, see, you misunderstood what was really going on. The little girl that was abused, she's certain that that was her fault. If she'll allow the Lord to do it, the Lord will take her back and let her see that through His eyes. And she'll be able to be healed and set free from it. We have seen this happen over and over again, that the Lord works this way. But you got to take the time each day where you're sitting with the Lord, or you make an appointment with the Lord 3 days a week or something. But you have to have that time, that personal, intimate time, to allow you and the Holy Spirit to converse. Let the Lord live in your heart all the time. But have some time where you really work that relationship. And as you do that, especially over the long term, there are a lot of things, a lot of broken heart items that just begin to kind of melt away, and you don't know where they went. All of a sudden, you just don't have that issue anymore. So, in conclusion, we all have times that we go through where we have broken hearts, right? And Jesus said, I have specifically come to heal broken hearts. And He does that work from the inside out. So we invite Him to fill us up with His Holy Spirit, to come in and live in our hearts, make residence there every day. We spend some time showing Him our broken heart, and then He takes time to heal our broken hearts.